Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
So hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison, and this, back for another week, is Dave Cribb.
Ahoy, hoy. You say back for another week like I'm some sort of special guest.
You're a guest star, yeah.
A guest star on every single episode so far.
Are you happy that we're back?
I am, actually, yes. It's lovely, isn't it? It's been absolutely delightful. It's been a busy old week, though, between watching the reunion, then doing the reunion live show, and the quiz, and the new episode, and the new correspondence episodes. And we need to do a new Joey with Friends, Pete, which we haven't even
putting it off for as long as possible.
That's what people want on the Patreon. That's what they're here for.
I know.
But yeah, are you glad to be back?
Bark?
I don't know why I said back.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back.
I am.
And we've had lots of lovely messages, which we've shared on correspondence, haven't we?
We have.
And it's very nice. Back up and running. Here we all are.
Very nice indeed. Shall we crack on with today's episode?
Yes, go for it. Alice, isn't it?
Alice has requested this week's episode, and the request reads as follows. Now I've caught up, I want to request an episode I can't believe hasn't been done yet. The one with the girl from Poughkeepsie. It's always been one of my favourites. It has four plots, all are absolute gold. Phoebe writing the Christmas song, Rachel being set up on a date, Rachel and Chandler together are so good, Ross falling asleep on the train, and Monica hiring Joey to fire him. Her monologue when she yells at the staff is epic. Love the podcast, by the way. I also told my friend in Australia, who's a huge Friends fan, and she's enjoying it too. Oh,
wow.
Delightful.
Pass the pod along.
Global audience.
I'm just going to not... This isn't a point about sort of the content of the episode. Yeah. So I'll get this out of the way early. I feel like there are about 100 different ways that you could pronounce Poughkeepsie based on how it's spelled.
It's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely
mad. It's like pow, po...
Poughkeepsie. I'd say this is how I learnt what that word, A, what that place was, and B, how to say that word, was Friends originally.
I don't think I've ever heard of the place in question outside of this context.
I actually met someone this time last year, maybe. A friend of mine's girlfriend from New York, who was trying to explain where she was from, and she said, "Is up near Poughkeepsie," and I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, Poughkeepsie, I know that, on the train up to Montreal." From the Friends episode, I don't even know if it's the real train line, but I was like, "Yeah, guys, I know all about this." And obviously, she was like, "From Friends, yeah." I was like, "Yeah, don't just know about upstate New York towns off the top of my head." So, season 4, episode 10, the one with the girl from Poughkeepsie,
Poughkeepsie.
Flipping heck, the Wikipedia one's long. I'll do it as quickly as I can, all right? Chandler's attempt to set up Rachel with someone from work gets out of hand when his colleagues start competing with one another, believing she only wants a fling. He then scares everyone off by saying Rachel wants a serious relationship. Monica's new staff at Alessandra's resent her for replacing the family member as chef. She hires Joe so she can fire him to show him who's boss. But when Joe gets lucrative tips, he refuses to give her a reason to fire him. However, when he truly sees the degree of cruelty... Yeah, it's like a whole bloody script, this, isn't it? And abuse Monica is being forced to endure, which almost makes her resign. He sticks to the part, and Monica fires Joe in front of everybody. This is enough for Monica to acquire control over her colleagues. He realises they could get fired too. Flipping heck. I reckon you could have shortened that.
was very quick. Have you just had a coffee?
No. I'd have two that rapid. Quick, so yeah. Oh, well, there's another sentence, mate. Ross is torn between a pretty but overly serious girl who lives nearby and a fun one from upstate that takes all his free time commuting to see. And Phoebe writes a holiday song for her friends but has trouble rhyming words.
You know, WhatsApp voice memos now let you put them on
double speed
a little bit quicker. That's what the last minute or so has just felt like.
I accidentally listened to two voice memos the other day on double speed, which I didn't realise, and I thought my brain was collapsing.
I love a WhatsApp voice memo.
Oh, they're all the rage, aren't they, mate? They're all the rage. Production code 466612.
A lot of sixes this week.
A lot of sixes, and it's a Crimbo episode, really. It came out on December the 18th in 1997.
Also, I feel like I think there might have been a season 4 product placement deal with Snapple, because Snapple was on the table in last week's episode, which was also season 4. And then there's another point in this week's where on the coffee table at Monica's apartment is just a bottle of Snapple.
Yeah, well, they've clearly done some Snappling, haven't they? But then do we see Snapple for the rest of the series, or is it just in season 4?
Well, we'll have to be on Snapple Watch.
Snapple Watch from now on. Everyone, see, if you spot a Snapple, just send us tag us in Instagram story or something, and we'll just do Snapple Watch from now on, okay?
Yeah.
Good. FWF pod. Oh, thank God we're getting the important issues out of the way, hey? Mm. So, I mean, where do you want to start? I mean, I feel like Phoebe's song is barely a plot line.
Yeah, I mean, I it is one of my favourite of her songs.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's no "and a crusty old man said I'll do what I can and the rest of the rats play maracas." But it's not far off, and it's great. Great bit of Phoebe-ing.
It's very good bit of Phoebe. It's clearly, like, I mean, even reading the Wikipedia synopsis, the last sentence just says, Phoebe writes a song but has trouble rhyming words. It feels like, oh God, we've not got much for Phoebe to do in this episode, so let's just put in a couple of singy-songy bits, but it is a great song, isn't it? But, I mean, the main takeaway, really, is why is everyone being such a little bitch about the fact that the words don't rhyme? When have they ever worried about Phoebe songs not being, you know, artistically credible before?
Yeah, and they sort of pick up on the content of their mention.
Yeah.
I can't remember which character it is, but one of them's like, I'm not Jewish. Yeah, it's Rachel, isn't it?
No, Chandler says, I'm not
Chandler.
Jewish. Yeah. Rachel says, Rachel doesn't really rhyme with dreidel, which I think is being nitpicky, because
it's not far off.
It's not far off in a song, isn't it? There's many, many worse rhymes in music than that.
Yeah.
Poor Phoebe just sitting there trying to write a nice song for her friends, and they're all just sitting there tearing it apart.
Yeah, piss off, guys.
Yeah, guys, chill the fuck out. It does end up being a great song, so maybe what Phoebe should learn is more creative input from your friends and the song might get better.
True.
Long term. It does have one of my favourite little bits as well, because it ties into the Ross plotline where he's falling asleep and he wakes up and Chandler says, well, if you weren't asleep, what was Phoebe's song about? He says, it's the one about the cat.
Yeah, that's good.
But I mean, that's basically the Phoebe sort of plotline addendum, isn't it? She's just writing that song and she cannot rhyme, as has been previously advertised.
Where'd you like to go next?
Well, where should we start properly then? So you got Ross's dating, you got Rachel and Chandler, and you got Monica and Dragon.
Let's do Rachel and Chandler.
Yeah, it's a curious one, this, isn't it? Because this is an entire plot line basically centred around Chandler using Rachel as a sort of trading currency.
Yes, he's sort of pimping her out a little bit.
Yeah, it's very odd, isn't it? Like, that first scene with those two guys in the office, when they're basically just going, oh, I'll give you some cigars for the woman. Oh, no, I'll give you some tickets to this for the woman. You know, it's very it's very weird.
It's a bit like when my nan was on holiday in Morocco many years ago and someone offered my granddad a camel for her.
I'm sorry, what?
Someone offered my granddad a camel in exchange for my nan.
That's why you've got a camel?
Or at least... yes, the old Allison camel. But that was at least their interpretation of what was happening.
Who? Your grandparents' interpretation?
Yeah, it was probably lost in translation. But she felt like she was being...
Traded for a camel.
Well, my granddad didn't take up the offer.
No, sure. The sign of a good husband is one who doesn't trade his wife for a camel.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
wow.
You have to say that in the vows, don't you?
Yeah, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, not exchange for a camel. The classic wedding vows. This is quite a good Chandler episode, I think.
It is, yes.
He's got a lot of funny bits. I think every time I meet someone called Drew, which isn't very often, I'll be honest, it's not a common name, is it?
No.
But I will always, in my head, go, I say Drew. It's very like cartoony, that bit, isn't it?
There's one a little bit later on as well where Rachel's very angry with him.
Yes.
And says that he's got something wrong, and he says, I'm sure you're right, but why?
Yeah. And just previously to that, when Rachel goes, you didn't tell him I just wanted a fling, and he goes, no. Yeah, it's like peak Matthew Perry, beautifully delivered lines. And there's also that strange runner where Chandler does the sort of the pause and then says yes, just to not engage in conversation with Phoebe and Joey being stupid. You know, earlier on, Joey says, does this Orson Welles guy direct Burger King commercials? And he just pauses and goes, yes. And then similarly later on with the robots in 401k.
There is one bit I don't really get in this this storyline, which is Rachel says, oh, it's a long time since I've been flung.
Yeah.
And Joey goes, well, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Yeah.
What? What are you getting her?
A sexing.
A sex thing? Is that what it...
I think the implication that he's going to have sex with her for Christmas. It's a weird fucking thing to say to
him. How generous of
him. I'm pretty sure that's the implication of that joke, isn't it?
Well, there you go. There's a nice bit of Gunthering in this as well. Bit of physical comedy.
Yeah, Gunther. So, the more you watch Gunther and remember that he wasn't really an actor before Friends, the more you go, he's fair fucks to him. He's very funny.
Yeah, it's the whole bit where Rachel's like, I want someone.
And he sort of, that grin, that like amazing Gunther excitement grin lights up, doesn't it?
And then she says, I want like a man. And he looks sad and slunks off into the back.
Yeah, sheepishly slopes off, doesn't he? Gunther is always good value, I'd say. So Chandler uses Rachel as a trading commodity, gets loads of stuff. Supposedly has like 20 tickets to the Knicks that night. Like, strange that he'd accept all the tickets, isn't it?
Yes, you'd say, oh, actually, I've already been offered. So.
I'm already going. I don't need more. It's like he gets into a slightly strange power grabby mode, doesn't he, Chandler, in this?
Yeah, he does.
And then Rachel goes on a date with Patrick. Her Chandler's basically told him that she wants a casual fling. And then she says, well, you shouldn't have told him that. So he tells him the opposite, and then he breaks up with her. This episode is sort of bookended by Ross and Rachel both being like curiously desperate to just be with anyone.
Yeah, I mean, we'll come on to Ross's sort of... it just feels bizarre that he's willing to go to such lengths, and it seems to be because he just needs someone.
Yes. We can talk about that in a bit. But again, like it's a really funny moment with Gunther that we just talked about, but it's kind of strangely a bit un-Rachel, isn't it? Just to be sitting there going, oh my God, I just need a man. Why can't I just have a man? Like,
It's a bit like Joshua-era Rachel, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess we're in the same sort of... No, it's the same season, isn't it? We're in the same sort of world where... But even then, I guess that's her fixated on Josh. You know, she's met someone that she thinks is hot, and that's a bit different to just sitting there going, I need anyone, which is what her and Ross are both doing in this episode. Maybe it's a Christmas thing. Maybe when people are lonely around holidays. I guess that's what she intimates to Chandler, isn't it, at the start? But then there's like a sort of like nice little touching moment at the end where Chandler and Rachel, you know, Chandler sort of talks Rachel down, doesn't he, and says, oh, I didn't have to lie once. You're great. You're the best. All the best.
They're really quite affectionate to each other at that point, aren't they?
Yeah, it's a nice little
couple of forehead
dynamic.
Kisses and things.
Yeah, it is a nice friendly dynamic, isn't it?
Would you kiss my forehead?
That really took me by surprise, and I don't know why. I mean, in what context?
Say I'm sad because you've been pimping me out to people, and then I was feeling upset.
I wouldn't rule it out. You got to feel these things out, I think, in the moment, haven't you? You know, I wouldn't say I definitely would kiss your forehead, but I wouldn't rule it out, is what I'd say. What I would do is if I was trading you for a camel and I needed to identify you to the camel dealer man, I would go over and kiss your forehead like Judas kissed Jesus.
Am I only worth one camel to you?
Oh, at best, I'd have thought, yeah.
This podcast would fall to shit if it was you and a camel.
Friends with camels.
You just hear
soon.
Lots of heavy breathing.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? The camel wouldn't be as good at the spreadsheet as you as well. So
no, it's true.
I need you. Okay, look, to sum up, I shall not exchange you for a camel. Happy?
Thank you.
So Monica and Joey in the restaurant and Dragon and this whole sort of hiring him to fire him, and then he gets attracted by the money, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, he gets he gets quite a lot of money in tips, doesn't he?
$300 for one night.
Yeah.
Nuts. Like, sign me up.
And I know it's like it's a reasonably nice restaurant, but it does. It's not sort of a restaurant for millionaires.
No. talking of the restaurant itself, love to talk to the people that designed the waitering costumes.
Yes, red and green ties. Sort of
almost all red ties, but then like two green ones. As if, what, are they like, what, the team captains? Is it like a captain's armband, or do you know what I mean? Like the supervisor tie, as if it's not different enough to be like, this is a much more senior person. But it just seems very odd that they've gone for that sort of mostly red. And the ties themselves are dreadful, aren't they? Big old wide 90s ties.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought that'd be very waiter-friendly.
I feel like we've talked about wide ties before.
Yeah, almost certainly, mate. There are very few topics we haven't covered on this podcast at some point.
Ooh, camel's got its first run.
Yeah, that's true. We're always finding new, fresh angles here.
Although I must say, it has occurred to me that my grandma and granddad were probably being offered... They were probably being offered a ride on a camel, weren't they?
Was it sort of a touristy spot in Morocco?
I guess so.
Maybe buy a camel riding $10 sign or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but no, they jumped to the conclusion that...
Has your granddad ever been to Blackpool, where they do the donkey rides on the beach?
Everywhere I take you now, people offer me animals for it.
Big wide. Yeah, I just don't think the big wide low. It's a very low tie. Again, classic 90s. But he's carrying a soup or something. You don't want a dangling object on your waiter outfit, do you?
This storyline, this plot got a couple of lols out of me.
Did it? You say that like you're surprised.
Well, no, I'm just thinking of like when we do Joey and we make a point of saying that we've laughed at something because it doesn't really happen often.
Yeah, we have to do an actual laugh count on that, don't we? And it's usually up to two an episode.
But there was one bit that I don't think I'd seen before because I'd only seen this on TV when it had been censored. Oh, yeah. So the bit that really made me laugh, mainly perhaps because I wasn't expecting it, was when Monica shows off her hat with "quit bitch" written on it.
Oh, what, you've never seen the "quit bitch"?
No, I love that.
Oh my god, that's incredible.
Love that.
Did they censor the hat on TV?
I don't remember seeing the hat before.
I think that's one of the funniest lines of the episode, where Phoebe's trying to comfort Monica and goes, well, maybe they meant to write "quiet bitch." That got a big old laugh out of me, because again, I sort of forgotten that line. But
they are properly bullying Monica, aren't they?
Oh, it's absolutely like unacceptable on every level. It's mad. I don't understand why it's allowed to happen. You know, who's running that place, you know?
And also, the ringleader of the bullying is this really dweeby waiter.
It's really odd, isn't it? He doesn't feel like the rest of them, like, without wishing to stereotype, sort of look and act like they could be undercover mafioso, you know? They're all look really hard and mean. And like, yeah, he's just a sort of dweeby camp guy that's apparently their illustrious ringleader, isn't he?
Have you seen him in Everybody Loves Raymond?
No, I never really watched Everybody Loves Raymond.
He's one of these people that basically plays the same character and everything.
Yeah.
But he's in Everybody Loves Raymond as like a really needy, snivelly... I think he sort of does a bit of work experience with Raymond, and he's great in that. But yeah, he is basically typecast as the same sort of thing in each thing.
He's another strange Friends character that I think, I'm pretty sure, and people will correct me no doubt if I'm wrong, but he's only in Friends twice. This episode, and then one in about 5 years. You know, when it's Stu who orders, when the Friends in 5 years, orders the prostitute for Chandler, you know, when Monica's trying to order a stripper.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's quite curious that they got him back for that, you know?
Yeah, another person who's in Friends twice.
Yeah, Friends, same character, but just so far apart. Like, he hasn't played a part of that world for yonks.
Yeah, good point.
And then he's back in.
The other bit I laughed at is when Monica gives an instruction to one of the members of staff, and this woman says in a broad, sort of very clear American accent, "I don't speak English."
Yeah, it's very good, isn't it? Yeah, but like you say, it's a really horrible workspace. What I don't really understand about it, and obviously this is us reading too much into it, is why doesn't she just actually fire one of them?
Yes, that's a good point.
Because she obviously hates them. If I was her, I'd be like, I'll just fire one of the ones I've... that really does my nut in. Get rid of him. Get rid of Stu. Get rid of the ringleader,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, get rid of the prick that's making your life miserable.
Talking up to you, exactly. But no, she has to hire and fire Joey in a way that's so... that bit's always felt a little bit like, oh, it's quite obvious what's happening, isn't it? When he goes, hey, remember that thing the other day? Well, I do have a problem. It's like, but no.
And the way that Monica fires him isn't particularly terrifying.
She's quite inconsistent in this episode in the way she acts in the kitchen, isn't she? Like, when she starts doing her speech at first and sort of does, like, for the last 2 weeks, it's like... it's ridiculously pathetic, isn't it? It's like she's got... there's nothing behind it. And then she immediately flips, doesn't she? And goes, has anyone got a problem with that? This plotline does produce one of my most quoted Friends lines, probably of all time.
Oh, yeah.
As Joey's walking out after finally having been fired.
Oh, a lean Christmas.
Lean, lean, lean. I say lean, lean, lean so often. Which
whenever you're using your lean, lean, lean fat reducing grilling machine.
Yeah, my George Foreman, lean, lean, lean. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's one of the greatest ones. That, and also there's two very notable Friends lean based lines in the one where they get the maid and Monica thinks the maid's stealing all her clothes and Chandler says, well, this is where I lean.
Oh yes.
There you go. Any instance in my life where leaning is involved. Got a couple of quotes straight off the back for that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Friends.
Sorted.
Hi, I'm Yasmin Akram, letting all of you know that myself and my friend Philippa Dunn and I have released the second series of our podcast, We Heart Worry. Join us for hard-hitting discussions on flashing your neighbours accidentally, looking after a child's pet when they go away, and of course, that most universal of worries, a strong fear of chicken. That's We Heart Worry. Find us where you find good podcasts.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, let's get on to Ross's mad old dating scenario. So we've touched on it already, haven't we? Like, Ross really just wants to have someone to hang out with.
Yeah, well, it's just his sort of commitment that he's willing to do long distance after, like, one date.
Yeah, there's a lot of strange things I don't understand. I mean, let's go right at the start, and Chandler flags this himself, but the way Ross meets the Poughkeepsie woman in the first place is terrifying.
She was totally at my mercy.
I sat by the door so she'd have to walk past me if she wanted to switch cars. Presumably, if she wanted to switch cars, the only real reason would be to get away from Ross.
Yes, sounds like it.
Like, you don't need to be switching cars very often on a train, do you?
Rare moment of creepy Ross behaviour actually being properly called out, though, as you must say. Chandler does do that, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. He says, yeah, were you late because you were burying that woman? But it's fucking weird, isn't it? She was totally at my mercy. In what sense? I mean, basically, the way Ross meets people in this episode is absolutely baffling. Have you ever, Pete, been asleep on a train and woken up to find an incredibly attractive person watching you sleep that had been waiting there until you woke up to ask you out?
No, that's unfortunately never happened.
That has never, ever happened to me.
I say unfortunately, it would be quite an immediate red flag for someone to ask me out having just spent however long watching me sleep.
Wouldn't your first... I mean, I get that he's drowsy, but wouldn't your first question sort of be, how long have you been watching me? What's going on here? Also, I mean, let's get too deep, shall we? The train from New York to Montreal is 9 or 10 hours. How does he sleep for that long on a train?
That's a good night's sleep, isn't it?
Yes. Well, this entire episode is basically about Ross being tired, isn't it? Because he has to get this train. But it doesn't... I mean, how far away is the train from Poughkeepsie to Manhattan, do you reckon?
I feel like Googling's occurring.
Manhattan to Poughkeepsie train. 2.5 hours. So...
Oh.
Yeah, right. And he's... The way he's banging on in this episode is like he's flying cross-country every day for a day, isn't it?
That's just me down to you.
Yeah, that's like nipping down for a day or a weekend. Like, presumably, in the early stages of this dating, you're not seeing each other every day. It's not what you call a long-distance relationship, is it?
Well, there's also a point where he takes a train to break up with someone that he's been on, like... That's his plan, isn't it? To take a train to break up with someone.
Mad.
That he's been on, like, 2 dates with.
Mad. Why is
just
he getting,
ring her.
Yeah, don't get a 2.5-hour train. No offence, Pete. If I'm breaking up with you, I'm not getting a train up to do it.
Oh, cheers.
And we've been on more than 2 dates.
Well, when she welcomed Ross off the train and then he dumped her, she'd be like, well, why the fuck have you done that?
Yeah.
And then what does Ross do? Just get back on a train and go home?
Yeah, well, exactly. Like a 5-hour round trip.
Ridiculous.
Just to say he doesn't want to go on a 3rd date. I mean, I know they don't have cell phones and they can't text, but give her a call, eh? Just be like, hey, it's a bit far. Clearly, I'm making a meal out of this. But yeah, I feel like Ross is over playing the victim card too much here with his sleep. You know, he's just getting a 2.5-hour train. It's not like he's driving 10 hours a day.
Very unlike Ross to play the victim.
Well, exactly. Also, on the sort of technicalities again, Montreal is in bloody Canada, isn't it? Like, he's crossed a border there. Very, very unlikely they'd just be like, oh, let him sleep through. Should we check his passport and ID? Nah,
he's sleeping. Let him sleep.
Sleeping. If the rule is, lads, if they're sleeping, let him into the country. Don't worry about it.
You know, there's also that point where Ross talks about a joke that the date made.
Yes.
I'm curious to know what joke towed a line between being funny and racist, because to me that sounds like it was probably racist.
Yeah, it's very, very rare that a joke that could be interpreted as racist ends up being definitely not racist.
Yes. Yeah.
It's. I mean, we never get to meet either of these women, really, do we? We see the Poughkeepsie woman
one through a window,
knocking, waving through a window, but we don't actually get to properly meet them. But I, character that Ross portrays in the sort of funny / stupid / racist one, I want to meet that character. You know,
sure.
I can't imagine what she is like, and. I'm gutted we never actually got to meet her.
Don't you think it's quite difficult to keep track of which girl he's talking about because we don't really meet either of them?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's the whole episode premise is based on two women we don't care about at all because we've never met them and we know they won't be there at the end, you know?
Yeah.
So, like you say, if we'd have met the girl in Poughkeepsie and gone, she is really great, she just lives miles away, I feel like we could have been a bit more invested in that, but... It's all a bit wishy-washy, isn't it?
I agree.
And then the other thing to note for this is, please do correct us if we're wrong on any of these, but there is no ferry from Montreal to Nova Scotia, guys. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
The ferry to Nova Scotia.
You have to swim.
Well, no, you drive. It's connected by land, mate.
Oh, they invented some water.
Well, there is water, but you'd have to go all the way around the sort of peninsula thing. I mean, it takes 21 hours to drive from Montreal to Nova Scotia.
Oh, fuck that.
Takes 4 hours nearly to fly there. Like, it's not a 2-hour ferry, is it? A ferry is not twice the speed of a plane, famously.
No, true.
some science facts for you there, guys. You are absolutely welcome. Any more on Ross's train story?
I think that's about it.
It's one of those strange episodes, this one, isn't it? Because there's not as much to say about it because I think it's a very good episode.
Yeah.
There's not much for us to dig into. There's not really... I mean... There are problematic elements in the sense that Chandler is trading women for favours and Ross is physically not allowing women to go past him without asking them out. But, you know, apart from those slightly strange details, it's not particularly a problematic Friends episode. It's not particularly one where there's a really terrible storyline. They're all, you know, like Alice says, they're all banging storylines. They're all good, aren't they?
Yeah, I was pleased when I discovered it was the Monica storyline we were in for.
Yes. Yeah, it's always nice. Lean, lean, lean. Should we do a quiz?
Let's do a quiz.
I know I've already mentioned this on our correspondence episode, so sorry to repeat myself for those of you that are Patreon subscribers, but I met Amy the Quizzard this week.
You did, didn't you? At the quiz. In her natural habitat, yeah. At a quiz.
I met her in the wild. Yeah. In the wilds of the quiz. I met her. She came to the quiz that we did last week in real life, and her team came second.
And Dave, you clearly made a reasonable impression because she has still very kindly done quizzes for us since meeting you.
Well, absolutely. We had a good chat about that. She basically was like, if I could just write Friends quizzes and not do my actual job, that would be the dream. I think sort of suggested we should make some sort of business out of that, but I'm not following on, not sure quite how we'd make loads of money from it. But I'm not against it, guys. If anyone can think of a way to make that into a functional commercial business.
Question one. How many Oreos in one go is Joey's personal best?
15.
15. Yeah. I can say that with confidence. Is correct. Question two. Where does Chandler think his joke about Pook Keeps Eye would have killed?
That is in Albany.
I don't get that joke.
Presumably Albany's near Poughkeepsie and they have some sort of rivalry, you know?
Yeah, right, fine.
I think because his joke is, oh, how can she be great if she's from Poughkeepsie?
Right, fine.
And that joke is that's them vibes.
All the best jokes take explaining. Question three, which two professions would exclude you from dating Rachel because she deems them boring? Legal.
Yeah, and accounting?
Correct.
That's a very funny line that we glossed over actually earlier when she says that, you know, they can't have a boring job. And Chandler goes, oh, and Ross was what, a lion tamer?
Yeah. Question four, what time does Drew say he'll bring Cubans to Chandler's office? That's five, isn't it? Around five.
5 o'clock, yeah, around 5 o'clock.
Yeah, correct.
It's a great Chandler episode, he goes. It's a little later than I like to stay.
And finally, what is the amount of money Joey... Oh.
Oh, no.
Should have noted this. What is the amount of money Joey has in each of his hands after getting his tips?
300 and something, $320-something dollars in one hand and 200 and something in the other hand. But there is not a chance in hell I'm going to get that right, I don't think. 327...
Is correct.
Is it?
Yes.
What's 200? I do not know the 200.
Have a guess.
228?
You're only 10 out.
218?
No, other way.
238?
Correct.
Oh, no, it's not right, is it?
And then Amy puts, fun fact, that translates to £664 in today's money.
£664 in today, as in the conversion rate.
He is absolutely loving life as a waiter, isn't he?
Well, also, what was this, 1997? Like, yeah. £664... In 19, I've got to get the inflation calculator up. Sorry, Pete. £664 in 1997, cost in 2021. That's 1,200 quid. £1,235 for 2 days' tips.
Loving it.
We're in the wrong bloody job, mate.
Well, we really are.
End of episode.
Well, shall we say what next week's is?
Yes, that was a test, and you passed.
Thank you.
Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head. Completely apropos of nothing. What's next week's episode?
Well, Dave, the request comes from Ellie. I said that strangely, didn't I?
Yeah, it was very odd, though. Why did you said it strangely and then you paused?
Because it's her. It's. I think it's her first name because it's the first part of her Instagram.
No, you do nothing where you try and work out from the Instagram name to
the first part of her Instagram name is Ellie.
Okay, fine. Sold.
But not spelt like anyway. we are going Back to season one, Dave.
Oh, exciting.
Season one, episode 22, the one with the ick factor.
Oh, good. I was literally having a conversation just today about how good season one is.
There you go.
The one with the ick factor. That is good, isn't it? God, it's been ages since we've done season one, isn't it?
Would you like to know? No.
When did we last do one?
Episode 18 of the last series.
What was it?
The one with two parts, part two.
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, it's been some time.
I can tell you exactly how long it's been, Dave.
Some, not
because
a lot.
Of the spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Camel couldn't do this for you, could it?
Look, I want to give the camel a chance on the spreadsheet before we naysay him.
17th of March.
That's a fairly long time ago, Pete, in real terms.
Right.
3 months. It's a quarter of a year.
Yeah, that's true.
See you next week.
Well, maybe I won't come back.
Oh, it's all right. I'll get the camel on. If anyone's selling a camel, please do let me know.
Dave, I've just realised something.
What?
You know that song that kids sing about a camel?
No.
Alice the Camel.
Alice the Camel.
Alice the Camel had one. There's a song about that you count how many humps the camel has.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think you've gone mad.
I was just going to make the point that Alice the Camel and this episode was requested by Alice.
And your name's Alison.
Yeah, that's true.
Alison the Camel.
Have I lost my mind?
I think we've both lost our minds. Also, we got to the end of the correspondence episode, and at the end of the correspondence episode at the weekend, I said, oh, there's one I've missed. And then you said, oh, why don't we save it for the main episode? And then we just went, all right, and then ended the episode. And now we've forgotten to do it again. So we're going to have to do it as an addendum here again.
Okay, fine.
It's really just that you text me in the middle of last week saying, oh my God, is Central Perk called Central Perk because coffee perks you up?
Yeah, it had only just really dawned on me.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny good. Joke.
Little pun on Central. It's obviously a pun on Central Park, but the perk element is, because of the coffee, isn't it?
I'm glad we teased that we were going to talk about that.
We also put it on our Instagram, so it's not new content in any way, is it? Yeah, I just like that sometimes you can watch a show for 20 years and only just get one of the main jokes then, you know?
Yeah, well, maybe people will get the Alice the Camel reference in 20 years.
I'm going to look up Alice the Camel and I'll report back to you next weekend. If you remember Alice the Camel, let us
There's
know.
There's an incentive to come
We'll be
back.
Talking about that on Correspondence this week, won't we? Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.